Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. Wait, seriously?
Oh my god.
What? I literally.
That was legit. That legit got me. I was like, wait, what?
Wow. I was like,
2 years of my life just disappeared.
Insta,
2 minutes.
Just, yep. Holy cow. What?
2 minutes of my life just gone. Some kind of rolling
Hi,
brown
everybody.
Out.
Kai Rizdahl, welcome back to Make Me Smart. You can be as surprised as Molly and I were when the music started up. That was legit. What the what? Making today make sense. If only we could keep up with Garrett Lang driving this thing, driving the train.
He's just so punctual. I'm Molly Wood. Thanks for joining us. We're here to make you smart and then make you smile all in 15 minutes. If you were just joining us for the first time for some reason, and I think it's probably because we each do like somewhere between 2 and 10 shows before we get to this one at the end of the day, it is frequently a surprise when our daily show commences.
Yes.
Never more than today.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is literally what happens.
Anyway,
yes.
What do we got?
So, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, not all of which merit,
so
I think, links in rundowns and thus connoting items to be discussed at length. But I'll go first with the one right off the top of my head, which is going to make a bajillion 12 to 15-year-olds and their parents really happy. So, Pfizer apparently is going to get this coming week permission from the FDA to use their drugs on 12 to 15-year-olds, which is ginormous. Ginormous.
Yeah, that's huge.
I can think of
although there's something
two...
about the way you say it, use what? Their drugs
yeah, I know,
on
drugs. I know,
children.
I know.
That is like
I
a
know.
Little scary sounding, but
I know,
yes.
I know.
This is,
use their
I
tested
say...
and authorized vaccines on young people in America. Yes, anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Exactly, totally. No, we should say this. I mean, look, this is almost certainly true. We've been expecting it in this time frame. We should say this is right. At this point being reported by the New York Times, according to sources close to the thing. I'm a little on my high horse right now about journalism's increasingly cozy relationship with anonymous sources.
Mm-hmm,
so I
mm-hmm.
just want to point that out.
Yeah.
However, yeah. I mean, I think we all know we're close to the emergency authorization, and that is huge.
Huge.
It's huge. Like, hopefully it gets the summer, you know, it gives the summer in this time frame to get adolescents vaccinated so that the return to school can be a little safer, and hopefully they're also working on younger ages as well, because it seems like some of these variants are really spreading among younger people, and so
the more
the better.
And the other thing this does actually for those parents, specifically moms of 12 to 15-year-olds who have been not able to go to work or do work or somehow have had to do everything for the past 14 months, now the kids can actually physically go back to school, and that will be huge for the American labor force. I mean, not to get brass tacks about it, but that's kind of what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Also, me personally, I teared up a little.
Well, yeah,
like
no,
it's
totally. You're one of those moms.
Like, it's huge.
You're one of those moms.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's huge.
Absolutely. You've been burning the candle on all three ends for 14
well, and
now,
I
15
want
months.
My baby to be safe. Like, it's just.
Well, there's that, too.
It was
that
just too. Purely as mama bear as that. Yeah, it's good news.
Yeah. Okay. So, now, the other thing I think we have to talk about real quick are Bill and Melinda Gates.
Like we really
I
do.
Talk about that
That's
real quick.
Kind of all.
Right?
That just blew every other story out of the water today. And what is so, in case you have not heard by the time you're hearing this podcast, although I feel like you probably will have, Bill and Melinda Gates, after 27 years, have announced that they are ending their marriage. And the world is shook. Like the reaction to this is so strong. And I've like spent all afternoon trying to dissect it and figure out why it seems like, I mean, it is a huge deal, first of all. Because these two have so much influence on the world, period.
Right.
Right. For the philanthropic work, the foundation, the climate change work, both of them have venture funds. Like financially, they're huge drivers of the global economy and innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a big deal when you realize like, oh, right. They're not an institution. They're two married people.
Right, right. And the institution part of this gets interesting because Gates is worth something like $125 billion. And it's my understanding that they have not, and I don't know what the prenup says, I don't know what their, you know, custody of their money status is, but they have not apparently donated most of that yet to the Gates Foundation. So now what happens?
I mean, I know. And they signed that giving pledge and said that they were going to give away half of the money.
Yep.
Is that later? Then do they each have to give away half the money? You know, what is, I don't know what the pledge says about these issues either, but but it's huge. And just the idea that they could pour so much resource and time and, you know, PR and machinery into certain priorities, and they could just change. They could just change.
Yeah. Now, I have to tell you, I'm going to assume they are, after 27 years, I don't think you part with acrimony in as high-profile a relationship as they have, right? Because we would have found out about it already. So I'm going to assume that they're going to leave each other on good terms and that they will continue with their pledges. But it does shake up the world of global philanthropy. It just does.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it really does. And it has a huge impact. Yeah. Like, we are not trying to be TMZ here. It's really like... It could have a sea change. Now, so far, it sounds like what they're saying is they plan to continue their work on the foundation, you know, that there won't be substantial changes there. But we don't know that. And, you know, when I'm not trying to humble brag, but the best quote that happened from my interview with Bill Gates recently was when he said, our priorities do change what gets funded in this economy.
Yeah.
So when their priorities change on the order of a family dissolution, it has this huge downstream impact, and it just makes you have all these questions about billionaires and their power to set the agenda and the fact that they're just people, and then a whole bunch of TMZ stuff that is better to just text your friends about.
Yeah. Anyway.
But it's big news.
It is huge. It is huge. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens as they split. All right. You go next because I want to talk meatless. There's a lot of meatless going on.
Oh my God, meat is like totally over. And it's so fascinating.
Thanks for coming to our podcast. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for coming to our podcast. That is my considered summary of the many news stories. You know, in the news business, we sometimes say that three makes a trend. So in the last like week and a half-ish, I guess, 6 days ago, the food site Epicurious announced it would stop publishing any recipes that include beef. Now, to back up for a second, the reasoning behind this shift to plant-based meat and moving away from beef is about sustainability. Yes, there's some there's health into it. There's health in it, but the meat industry is you know, I think everybody has known it is unsustainable. Livestock accounts for 15% of total global greenhouse gas emissions, of which beef is the highest contributor. And so a lot of like the funding that has gone into Impossible Meats and Beyond Meat is you know, considered to be a climate investment. So that's the background. Epicurious, getting rid of meat. And then Tyson, today there was news that Tyson, which is like the big, like, gross packaged chicken company. Sorry. Evidently, 2 years ago, tried to debut a plant-based or a beef meat replacement, and it was like a disaster, but they're still at it, which is huge. They make Jimmy Dean sausages. Like, this is a meat company. Saying we're making a huge bet on alternative proteins. And then finally, the third one making the trend is that 11 Madison Park, which is this really fancy restaurant in New York City, where, like, full disclosure, my stepsister and her husband worked because they're super awesome chefs. Yeah. Will no longer serve meat or seafood when it reopens next month. It will be a fully plant-based menu because they're just like, it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
Huge deal.
Have you had like an Impossible Burger? Oh, we talked about this, didn't we?
It's pretty good.
We did. Yeah.
I buy the sausage all the time. Yep. I love the Beyond Meat sausage, the Italian sausage. The burgers are pretty good. We did a taste test and couldn't tell the difference.
All right, I'm gonna have to try it with my fam and just like not tell them.
I mean, might as well get them used to it now, like subtly, because
I know, because it's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah. Because Biden's going to take away our meat. No, he's not. I'm kidding. That was a joke. That was a little whack at the Fox News. Anyway. Sorry.
I appreciated that. I appreciated that.
Okay. So, yeah, I think the meat thing is huge. Also conceivably huge, but in a completely different way, will come on Wednesday when the Facebook Supreme Court decides whether or not Donald Trump gets another chance at that particular social media platform. The decision's coming Wednesday. I urge you to read this piece in the Washington, in the Wall Street Journal that Tony's going to put on our show page about how it's going to work. And I think these are the salient details. Now, oh, look, a hummingbird. Sorry.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah, well, look at that. That's so cool. Yeah, we have these flowers outside the kitchen door. Anyway, the way it's ostensibly going to work is that there are 20 people on this court. Five of them will make this decision, and then a majority of the five of them will vote on it, and then that recommendation goes to the full board, and the majority of that full board has to approve, and then Facebook says it is bound by the court's decision. I call hooey on that. I just don't believe for a second, call me deeply cynical, that Mark Zuckerberg is going to take their advice. He's going to do whatever he wants to do because, as we know, he gets to control that entire empire. I just think it's interesting that the way it's supposed to work and the way Facebook is presenting that it will work. And then on Wednesday, we're going to see what happens to the my guess, by the way, just to prognosticate for a second, is they're going to let him back on. And then the pressure and then the pressure just ramps up on everybody else who has deplatformed him, specifically Twitter, which has said the ban is permanent. But who knows? It's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a big story.
I know. It really is. So, like, just get ready for it because the quiet is likely to end.
And
it has been, and it will not be. But, yeah, I find it so fascinating. You know, the Journal's got this, like, FAQ about the oversight board and what the deal is. And one of the questions is, like, does Facebook have to accept the board's decision? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? No, they don't.
Yeah.
Right. Like there is no consequence. Yeah. There's no some sort of like, and if they don't, the company will be dissolved and Mark Zuckerberg will be jailed. Like they created the board.
Yeah.
They pay the board. Like maybe they would get sued or something. I don't even know who would sue them. No, they do not have to accept the board's decision. Like, come on.
Right.
It's not, it's just absurd. It is such weird theater and it's just a way to punt hard decisions. And nobody wants there to be some sort of like Facebook UN making speech decisions for the entire world anyway. It's, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So stay tuned. Weird. Stay tuned. All right. Garrett, help us out.
Let's go.
Do the thing. Do the thing you do.
Time for Make Me Smile.
Time for Make Me Smile. Okay. So Variety reports today that IMDb TV, which is Amazon's free streaming channel, is fleshing out its lineup with some new original content. And here is one of the shows, I kid you not, that is being greenlighted. It's called, I swear this is true, The Fed, which follows the personal and career drama surrounding a group of young financial hopefuls as they begin an elite fellowship with the Federal Reserve, the nation's most powerful financial institution. These young financial geniuses are destined for greatness, provided they don't screw it all up with secrets, lies, sex, and politics. Unbelievable. It's being executive produced and written by Nkechi Okoro-Carroll, who first worked for the Federal Reserve prior to her TV career. I don't know what kind of Fed she was in, man, but I want to work there.
I feel like this literally exists for an audience of one.
I know.
And that audience is you, Kai Rizdahl. Like, I am dying right now. Oh, 10, that is
10,
amazing.
We'll
watch. It's possible. You know, for a while last year, you heard a lot of people say we've reached peak TV. The thing that happens after the peak is the decline. Maybe it's going to be amazing.
That's right.
Maybe it's going to be amazing. Yeah. That's incredible. Wow. I hope the first episode's all about inflation.
Yeah.
I'm dying. Okay. Whew. Yeah. Okay. That's me slapping my cheek so I can get it back together. Yes. I rotated through a whole bunch of links today, and then right at the end, like at 2:30, my nice man friend sent me this article about, because one of my absolute favorite things in the entire world is the 2004 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame performance of Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne, Steve Winwood, and Donnie Harrison performing While My Guitar Gently Weeps, because it features this guitar solo by Prince that is legendary. Like,
oh my goodness.
It's bananas. And I mean, wow. I love it so much. I've watched it a million times. I have the Spotify rendition on my like all-time greatest songs playlist. It is so spectacular. And the video is just so jaw-dropping because, you know, everybody thinks they know a lot about Prince or whatever. The musical talent of this man just could not be overstated. And now the guy who directed and produced the original broadcast put up a re-edited version of this clip because he basically was like, yeah, I just didn't think it was good enough and it didn't have enough Prince. And so he made a new version with a bunch more Prince in it. And somehow it took this thing that I already thought was perfect and made it like 10 times better. It's so incredible.
I will listen to it.
It's so incredible. We did not clip any of the audio of it for obvious reasons because we want Marketplace to continue as an organization and not get sued into oblivion. But we will have the link over at makemesmart.org, marketplace.org, because it is truly spectacular. That's just cool. Clear 6 minutes of your life and don't move an inch. It's incredible.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yep. You'll love it. You're going to love it. All right. That's it for today. Send us your questions, your comments, makemesmart@marketplace.org. Tomorrow, we're going to be doing our deep dive episode into the birth rate and how that became an economic metric, which is going to be so interesting. We've already learned, apparently, you call it the fertility rate, not the birth rate. I don't know. More to come. Yeah. We're going to learn all together.
There are rabbit holes to be gone down. Yes.
Tomorrow. Exactly.
Garrett,
so we'll see you then.
Garrett. Play the music. Fertilizing her avocado trees. Sorry, just watching my daughter in the far garden. She's very avocado obsessed. Anyway, Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Oh my God, I said it. And Erica Phillips writes our newsletters. Also, our Make Me Smart explainers. I slipped. I'm Ron Burgundy.
You're Ron Burgundy. Did you just?
I read
just
exactly what's in front of me. Jeez.
Today's program, thank God, was engineered by Garrett Lang because apparently we never would have started the show. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. The senior producer is Donna Tam and the executive director of On Demand is Sitara Nieves.
There we go. Bridget's coming back this week. Bridget's going to be in charge for a while, just so everybody knows. Show might go to hell. Or it might be amazing. We don't know.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. Well done. Nice of you. Uh-huh. Show might go to hell.
What?
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.